things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to week one edition of Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
It's the father and son edition of just hanging out, man, and talking about the green and gold, dude.
We're 1-0.
Yeah.
Seahawks at home to start the year.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a tough one. We were doing the picks. I know. I told you. I said I'm just going to go with my heart, maybe over my gut, but I can't not go with them on the opening game. And and you were like, yeah, I know, it's tough.
So just to kind of do some house cleaning to start things out, since you're bringing up the picks. You might have noticed we didn't have a preseason episode this year. That's because we had some technical difficulties on our side getting the podcast up. We did record it, though, so if I was still planning on releasing it when we released this one, in case people want to go back and listen to it for any reason.
Yeah, we do more than just talk about the Packers, too. It's like some of the highlights of what was going on in the NFL at the time and some different issues. But
witty repartee.
What? Oh, Woody Repet. I thought he was a new player. Okay. He's from France.
Never mind. Forget the witty repartee.
But anyway, but thanks again for it's year three, isn't it?
We are in year three now.
Wow.
Third time's the charm, Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I don't think I said it in the preseason. I'm predicting the Packers are going to go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, if only just to rub it in to the Vikings, winning it in Minneapolis.
17-9 over the Seahawks, a low-scoring game. We barely went into halftime with any points at all. They got a field goal right at the end with Blair Walsh because of some timeout management that I wasn't very happy about.
Yeah, it's predictable.
Yeah, McCarthy doesn't change. I want to, like, tell him, like, okay, you call the plays and you're going to hire me to just sit there and manage the time.
You'd hate that, wouldn't you?
Well, someone has to, apparently. Been hearing a lot about, you know, just refs always love the Packers, you know. Packers always get the call.
And I think a lot of this has to do with us living in Minnesota, but okay.
That might be, but it's been all over online, too. And my big thing is maybe that one in the end zone was a blown call. Maybe it should have been pass interference. It was close either way. But
I'm not. Which player are you talking about?
You remember when I think it was their tight end, Graham, was trying to catch it in the end zone. We kind of dragged him down, but it was uncatchable. So
uncatchable,
we didn't call it.
Yeah.
That's the one people are pointing at and saying Packers always get the call.
But correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't that the rule? If it's an uncatchable ball,
they're saying it wasn't uncatchable for him.
Oh, he's 8 feet tall and can jump 10 feet in the air.
I'm just relaying the popular opinion. You don't got to kill the messenger.
Sorry, dude.
But what I'm trying to say is a call doesn't make the game. The refs didn't make them, you know, not invest in the worst offensive line in the league last year.
Well, I guarantee you in the mid to latter 70s, 80s, and early 90s when the Packers were sucking, there weren't many people saying, yeah, they still get the calls. They still when you've got a team that's been successful for so many years, that's what the other teams do. Even if they're the ones who are also successful, that's your team always gets more calls.
What did you think of the ejection penalty in the beginning? One of their bigger defensive players?
I think that
they're all big defensive players on the Seahawks. They have one of the best defenses.
Right. But that was against Cobb. The two of them were going head-to-head. I can't remember the guy's name. But
elbow-to-head. They were going elbow-to-head.
Elbow-to-head. They give him the business.
Giving him the business.
But I'm thinking something was mandated from the NFL. Watch out for these two, because they went I mean, from the get-go, they were being chippy and
yeah, they've made it known they don't like each other. They said, I can't remember the Seahawks player's name right now, but they said he threw a punch, and that's why he was ejected. We never saw a punch. Right. It might have been off-screen. But we did see him on top of Cobb repeatedly shoving his elbow down into Cobb's throat, so that also can't feel good.
And if you want to know what we're talking about, if you haven't seen it before, go to YouTube and type in giving the business. That's a referee back in the 80s, I think it was.
It was a college game more recently. But
I think it's pretty old, but we'll find out.
I bet it's early 2000s.
No.
Yes.
But anyway, I mentioned this to you during the game, mm-hmm. that I feel like I know the Seahawks as well as our NFC North rivals, because it's really become a rivalry.
And it's not a fully organic rivalry either. It's kind of been pushed by the NFL. There's no reason we're playing the Seahawks every year besides that the NFL wants us to.
Well, it gets ratings.
Yeah. But we've won, I think, is this the last five now matchups? Four or five?
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah, we talked about it before.
I think we had won four in a row, so now it's five. Mm-hmm. So if we want to keep playing them every year.
Keep bringing them in. I want to get back to the time management thing.
Okay.
I mean, I don't recall, because there are teams that do that. They have a clock coach. I said clock coach. And
everyone heard you correctly.
Good. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure. But have they ever mentioned that? Because you're right. I mean, this is common every game.
I don't think they have. I'm not sure. Maybe McCarthy just doesn't like the idea of it. Maybe he doesn't realize he sucks at it. I don't know.
It's like, I got to set up one of those cameras where you got the little clicker. So you push the little plunger with your thumb, and then it takes a picture. And I'm going to direct it right at your chair when we're watching the game, because the look on your face when it happened, you're just like, oh!
Well, you don't have to start the season that way. Like for those who maybe didn't get to see the game, if you're out somewhere you can't or you were busy, what happened is at the end of the first half, it's still 0-0. We have them deep in their own territory with – maybe a minute left, I think it was, just over a minute, around there. And they run the ball, I think for 2 yards. And instead of letting them run the ball, run out the clock, go to halftime, like they're basically agreeing to do, we call timeout.
Yeah, it was being
aggressive. We can stop them, get like a Hail Mary shot, that kind of thing. However, when you call timeout,
You give them a chance,
yeah. And that's exactly what happened. Yeah. So they're not going to run the ball again because you called a timeout. You're giving them a chance.
Right.
So we call timeout twice. We allow them to get the first down on a big pass. And then all of a sudden they're getting chunks of yards they haven't been able to the whole game.
It's also when Wilson ran the ball, didn't he?
He
way down there.
Yep, he had a pretty nice run on there, and then they ended up with the field goal when there's no reason we had to give them a field goal.
Well, I agree and disagree with you on that because it's aggressive play calling. I thought you were going to talk about the one earlier in the game, the very first timeout that McCarthy called, and it was just a – it was a mismanagement thing from the sideline to the quarterback.
That's just an early season thing, though.
But that happens a lot. That's the one I thought you were talking about.
And then Rodgers had one in the second half where he just didn't get the team ready in time, and they had to stop.
Well, he got upset. Remember, there was a play that he got thrown out of sorts for one of his players did something or missed a block, and they got mad and it threw him off. But, yeah, or he got hit. I can't remember.
I know what you're talking about. I don't remember who it was, though. Should we move on?
Yeah, so speaking of Rodgers.
Moving on to the offense. Despite the low score, I thought Rodgers and the boys looked pretty good.
I agree. I think that you could tell in the beginning that there was some rust. They had the starters don't play together hardly at all in the preseason. And I thought that you could kind of see it. The defense, on the other hand, we'll get to this, but totally 180. But it took them a little bit to get going. I know the Seahawks got a great defense, but there was stuff like Rodgers missed a couple of throws.
Maybe a little rusty at first. But for the first game, I was very happy with, again, we said it wasn't a high-scoring game, but the timing of the throws is a big thing. It feels like the last couple of years, we start out slow because just somehow our timing's off between Rodgers and the receivers.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel right. You can tell. And we didn't have that this game. Even though we're playing, like you said, a great defense, it still felt like we're in rhythm. We're hitting our guys. We're just having a hard time moving the ball against these guys.
Well, the one play, I mean, it was just like playoff football cool, was when Rodgers got them with 12 players on the field. He got the penalty, and Jordy, right down the middle, Rodgers throws
skinny
it to him.
Post.
Jordy doesn't even have to. He just puts his basket out to catch the ball as he's running to the end zone. Doesn't even have to move his arms or his hands. It's right there. It was a thing of beauty.
It was. It was fun to see. It's been, how many months is it?
Seven months.
We've got to see that.
Mm-hmm.
So that
was cool.
Football is back. The Packers are back. Jordy DeNelson is back.
There's your dagger.
How'd you feel about the other receivers?
I think it's good. Adams looked really good. I think he, of course, Jordy looked good. He was on his game, and I think that
Adams was big in the first half. Mm-hmm. He kind of got quiet for the rest of the game, but he did have three big catches. Cobb had a really good game, 9 catches. He's kind of becoming, it almost feels like, that Donald Driver role where on third down when we need a guy, Cobb is always going to be open enough,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe quicker than Driver was. You also have Jordy, who's very reliable on third down, but it seems like Cobb's becoming more and more one of those guys that you know you can go to, kind of a safety net for a quarterback.
And he's kind of Donald Driver tough. You know, that used to always crack me up. Donald had that million-dollar smile that he could do. It just light up the room. But if somebody ticks him off, he's not going to take it.
No.
And Cobb's kind of a tough dude out there as well. He looks like he beefed up a little bit more, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, Driver, he grew up with pretty tough circumstances.
Yeah, he did.
So.
Yeah.
Sticking with kind of the receiving game here, though, we got, you know, all offseason we talk about Rodgers' weapons. He has all these weapons now. You have Jordy, Randall Cobb, Davante Adams. We have Martellus Bennett, our new tight end, shiny new toy. You got Montgomery, who's going to have a whole offseason to train as a running back.
Oh, boy. He
know the
really
plays better. And we have Lance Kendricks, who is our backup tight end, who's been, for his whole career, a starting tight end.
Yeah.
So
he got a couple of passes.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to see all these weapons for Rodgers, and they all got multiple catches
game.
That's hard to defend.
That's very true. It was like, I can't remember if I can look in the stats, but they the time of possession in the first half, it was just crazy how much more the Packers had the ball. But you just, if you've watched much football, you know that doesn't always attest to much, because I've seen a lot of games where the team that had the ball the longest still lost the game. So I was still nervous about it, but it was nice to see we were putting sustained drives together.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, that's a big thing. You see that with, we complained about the time and clock management, but with such a passing league nowadays,
mm-hmm.
it's hard not to just go out there, get a touchdown, put your defense back on the field.
Mm.
That, you know, that's basically what the 07 Patriots did when they were going up and down the field with Moss, and their biggest challenge that year was giving their defense a rest.
Right.
And,
because it is so hard on them.
And we basically controlled the ball. Each drive, we kind of just methodically moved it down the field, which was nice, and their defense was worn out by the end, you could tell.
Yeah, you definitely could. Mm-hmm. It's like, I was listening to, we're recording on Wednesday, by the way, this week. I was listening to the Dan Patrick Show, and they were talking about how the running game has changed over the years now, because it's more of a pass-happy league. And, what really got him going, who would you rather have? He was the former Giants running back, Tiki Barber. Would you want Barber or would you want Adrian Peterson when they were at their prime? And then it got down to, and I have a point where I'm going with this, on if it was today's game,
new.
You would want Barber.
Mm-hmm.
Because he ran great, and he also caught the ball and ran great. Where Peterson's more your old-school running back, and he doesn't catch the ball that well.
Mm-hmm. He's running downfield.
And my point being, I think Montgomery is a perfect hybrid if he can pull it off for today's game, because he's a former receiver, used to be a running back in high school, and looks like he's figuring out how to run the ball pretty good too. He had what did he have rushing? He had 54 yards, 19 attempts, and then for receiving, he had 4 receptions for 39. That's pretty good.
I was listening to NFL radio in my car the other morning, and a Packer fan called in to the show, and he said, "So who's out there? Who can we pick up at running back since, you know, we don't have a running game?" Every time.
Yep.
We always overreact. Everyone always overreacts. It's one game, and he played well. Like, I don't think for the first half he ran very well between the tackles. That'd be my only complaint. Mm-hmm. But by the end of the game, he was running well between the tackles.
He had a really nice touchdown run in. What was it, like on the 8-yard yard line or something like that, I think. 7 or 8.
Yeah, tough run.
Bounce pushed his way in. So congratulations to Aaron.
50th game with 300 yards or more.
That's impressive.
It's impressive. let's see here.
So he had 311 yards and a touchdown. Really looked good. Once
started the year
clicking.
With an interception. Not that very Rodgers-like.
That was such a weird play all the way around, because it was the defensive lineman. He couldn't have thrown it 5 yards, and the guy nabbed it, ran it in for a touchdown. But then it was the touchdown was called back. They got the ball, but that's the play where their player got ejected.
How'd you feel about the offensive line?
You know, I think realistically, I think they did pretty good. I think, you know, against their defense, I think they did pretty darn good.
Probably the best front seven in the league, maybe by a margin.
And we had a rookie in there, so.
Yeah, we had, well, not a rookie. He was a second-year backup at right tackle for Bulaga. And then we had Ahmad Brooks, I believe it is. That might be the defensive player. I'm still getting used to the new names. But we had our new free agent, you know, guard in there as well. So you have a lot that you're getting used to for the first time. But otherwise, I thought it was pretty good. The second-year guy at tackle, when we had pressure and when we had plays breakdown, that was usually where we pointed.
Yeah.
But we did ask a lot of them. Cliff Averill is a big-time
player.
He
wasn't getting any help.
And that's what I was going to say. McCarthy doesn't seem to believe in helping out the offensive linemen if they're struggling.
If they need help, he'll call a timeout.
Yeah. If you're struggling, try harder. you want to move on to the defense?
Yeah. Let's do it. Well, first of all, what's your take on the defense?
It's about damn time. I've been waiting years for the defense to look like this. Hopefully it continues to look like this.
Man.
I'm not going to overreact after week one, but it was very fun and nice to see.
It was.
And it gives you hope.
And, you know, if you follow football at all, it's you can understand when you see a play where, let's say, you've got a couple of guys that are trying to run down the quarterback, and then he's able to throw over the defenders to a running back. And so the running back turns around to take off, and then there's 4 Packers waiting for the guy. I mean, that is skilled football. The first game of the season, it was really fun to watch. They were fast. They were hitting hard. They were tackling well. You know, there's always some breakdowns here and there, but I was very pleased. Very pleased. It's been, gosh, I can't remember the last time.
And it feels good to do it against the Seahawks.
Yeah.
If you can't do it to the, you know, NFC North, do it to the Seahawks.
And I think that contributed to the 2 packs of gum that Pete Carroll chewed during the game.
Yeah.
Juicy fruit!
How many sticks of gum do you think he has in there at one time? It has to be. His jaw has to be just steel.
Well, he's got the muscles that pop out on the side. You can actually hang shirts.
It all started up front. Mike Daniels had maybe his best game of his life. You know, the Seahawks were notorious last year for having a horrible offensive line, one of the worst in the league. They couldn't keep Russell Wilson healthy, and they were thinking, you know, hopefully that's behind us this year. I know a lot of the fans thought they hadn't made big changes to the line, but they'd made some minor tweaks that they thought were going to make a big difference,
mm-hmm.
and that did not seem to be the case, mm-hmm. at least against us. But I don't know. I was happy with it. We tore their line to shreds.
It was Daniel. They were trying too. It wasn't like they were just like, "No, our guy one on one will beat you." No, they were trying to keep the guys back. And
Daniels couldn't be blocked. No. He had one sack, one play, and then the next a sack fumble.
Yep.
That we recovered near the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
It's what more can you ask for? The rest of the line played well, I thought. Again, it's hard to tell against their line. We were kind of talking about it earlier today, the Vikings defense, Monday Night Football last night. We're recording this Tuesday evening.
Tuesday, I said Wednesday. I apologize.
You should. but their offense looked great yesterday, first game of the year. But, you know, Saints also have a pretty bad pass defense, so we'll see how that holds up.
You had to edit there, didn't you? You had to edit what you wanted to say.
But I did edit it.
Edit, boy!
And so we can't say too much about the line right now because they were going up against the Seahawks O-line, but they looked good. We controlled them the whole game at the line.
Yep. They did get a couple, you know, Wilson's always going to get them, but he did get a couple splits up the middle where he picked up some really big yardage.
Well, we also had him running the whole game pretty much for his life. Linebackers, I thought, played well. Perry was setting the edge. He looked good. Lacey had a horrible game against us.
Oh, he really did.
Clark and Lowry, I don't know. Nothing comes to mind, so they must have done well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always a good sign when you have nothing to say about a defensive player.
Matthews was pretty quiet, but it's only because they were double-teaming him. And they had a couple plays where it was so freaking obvious they were holding him.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to spin around, move, and he falls down because the guy's hanging on to him.
Not that he ever plays it up. But
no, that would be wrong.
But they were double-teaming him a lot, which really I was surprised with. I feel like Daniels is the guy, or even at this point, maybe Perry's the guy you want to be double-teaming.
Mm-hmm.
Matthews hasn't been that guy in a couple of years now. Maybe he still is, and we just don't see it because of injuries and because he gets double-teamed every game. But him getting double-teamed opens up other guys.
You know, it's almost like the A.J. Hawk thing, you know, where he's good. He knows his game, but I hope his athleticism isn't cutting down with all the injuries because mm-hmm. it would really that would definitely hurt, especially the pocketbook, for what he's making.
Mm-hmm. Front seven as a whole, very happy with how they played. Hopefully it looks like they could take a big step forward this year. I feel like there's been a couple years now we're just kind of waiting for those last couple pieces to fall into place, and then we can rev the engine and it finally starts.
I agree. And then get an injury, mm-hmm. and then, you know, that sometimes over the long period, those injuries help you out, though, because you have to throw guys in. Mm-hmm. And so they get thrown in quicker than you want to, but they get the experience and stuff out there.
And then what I feel is the key to maybe our Super Bowl hopes this year, I think kind of the key to the whole season, is our secondary.
What happens with our
secondary this year? Because as we saw last year, when you don't have a secondary, they're pretty good at passing against you.
Don't go there, especially with the team we got coming up. But they tackled well. They
tackled very well, which is one of our biggest complaints always.
They played hard. They hit guys hard. You know, it's like
they did.
I think that it you always send a message when you're a hard hitting, well tackling team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they played well. I was kind of nervous how Kevin King, our new corner, just because I remember kind of the growing pains we went through with both Demarius Randall and Quentin Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
Randall had a very good game. He looked good. So maybe this is his year to kind of figure it out. He's just had kind of minor tweaks that give up big plays,
mm-hmm.
it feels like, up to this point. But Kevin King looked good. Whole secondary looked pretty solid. As a whole, we'll see if that is the case, because, you know, when you're making the quarterback run around mm-hmm. after half a second and sacking him all the time, it makes your secondary look good as well.
A lot, yeah, absolutely.
When they can't throw it, you're pretty good at covering.
Yeah, and that's what we keep saying. It, you know, it was the first game of the year. We talked about
maybe John, we're harping on it too much, but we don't want to be those overreactors.
It really takes, I'd say, minimum 4 games, but about 6 games to really figure out if you have, because the season ebbs and flows so much.
I forgot how frustrated I can get at Devon House for making stupid plays. I completely forgot. I used to get so mad at him, and then first game back with the Packers, and I was, well, what are you doing? And I'm, oh, yeah, that's right. He does this. So I guess I'll have to get used to stupid play every once in a while from House. But otherwise, I think he looked good,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it was good to have him back.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the special teams?
Good. Nothing to complain about. I think our punter looked really good.
Rookie punter. Mm-hmm. Solid game. Nothing, you know, flashy, but he's a punter and
that's all you want.
Seems to have a strong leg. He yep. had a 57-yarder at one point. Yeah, I don't have too much else to say. Crosby had a good game. Did we miss an extra point?
No.
No, okay. I was kind of thinking we were, but I wasn't sure. Final thoughts on the game. Packers are back. How do you feel?
Well, it's good. It's really good. I think I mentioned in the preseason podcast as well that it's kind of a little bit of, I'm really excited to have football back, but then, you know, the fall's here, and then, you know, what happens after that. But it was so much fun. I'm glad that we were able to do it. And of course, going in and winning your first game against a tough team like Seattle, that's cool.
Yeah, and I feel like there's been 2 or 3 years now ever since, you know, R-E-L-A-X, that it feels like we kind of like to start the year with the sky falling.
Hmm.
We like to get out to a slow start. Things don't look right. This isn't what we expected all offseason. It was nice to have really close score but dominant game.
Yeah, I would agree with you in there. Like I said, you know, we didn't really score in the first half, but it was nice to control the clock like we did. And besides the beginning and the offense, where they looked a little rusty, I'd say it was a very good start to the season.
All right. Well, let's give away the first game ball of the year.
All right. You're the first one to give away
the first
game.
One. Yeah. Mike Daniels.
Mike Daniels!
How can you not? I feel like he got a couple last year. So, Mike, I know it's kind of a hassle every time you have to text us and we figure out shipping and delivery. And I know we always make you pay for shipping. But if you want another game ball, it's here for you. just message us. Did you want to go over last week's NFC North games at all? Since we didn't get the preseason episode up, we didn't get our picks in there. I was gonna put them on there, and then I didn't. I was gonna put them on our Facebook group. I think you sent me yours on my phone, and yeah, when I went to put mine on there, we differed on the Lions and Falcons game.
I don't remember.
Because I had the Lions winning, you had the Falcons winning.
Okay.
But I kind of feel like if it's okay with you, we just start out.
Sure.
Clean sheet. We got.
Okay, you tap it in. Here,
let's go.
We got
4 games here.
Okay.
We have the 0-1 Bears, who almost beat the Falcons.
Yeah, they did. that, but you, again, first game of the year.
Yeah, it is the first game of the year.
So it's Bears at
Bears
Buccaneers.
At Buccaneers. Buccaneers have had more than a week to prepare now for the Bears because their first game got postponed with the hurricane.
Right.
And they're healthy because of that. Who you got?
I'm taking the Bucks.
You're taking the Bucks. Me too. Yeah. Okay, well, that was exciting. Vikings at Steelers.
Do you want me to go first, or you?
It's up to you. I'll go first.
I know who I'm going to pick.
You know who you're going to pick? Okay, yeah. Who are you going to pick?
Steelers.
Are you?
Yep.
All right. See, I was kind of on the fence with this one, so I'll go Vikings.
Okay.
All right. Packers at Falcons.
No, I've Sunday got the secret sauce night. Here.
You got the secret sauce. Yep. Should I leave the booth?
I have no. this is another tough game. And so what I did is I talked to your mom, and we're going to have our special dip for the game. And that's
should I leave the room? Should I watch somewhere else?
No, this is what's going to make the win for us. You know the dip that we have, that chip dip.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I don't know what you guys
so
do.
Stop it. So I'll go with the Packers.
I'm going with Packers.
Okay. And then what?
I was just going to say, actually, you know what? We didn't publish the preseason episode, so I don't need to eat my words. Let's move on.
I guess he's such a politician.
Lions had a big fourth quarter comeback to beat the Cardinals. And then the Giants lost to the Cowboys.
Lions at Giants.
Monday Night Football.
I didn't get a chance to see any of that game.
Either of them?
Mm-mm.
All right, well, I'm going to go Giants.
I'll go Lions.
All right. That was easy enough.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us again, starting out year three of Leading Green and Gold podcast. And until next week, go Pack Go!
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack Go!